escape pocket.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. Today is the day we got to see the shape of the future. In 1962, NASA unveiled the basic design of the two Apollo spacecraft, the gumdrop-shaped command and service module, and the bug-like lunar lander.
The Apollo spacecraft will consist of three modules. The command module will carry the three-man crew together with guidance, communications, and life support systems. The service module will contain propulsion systems for mid-course maneuvers, as well as for entering and escaping the lunar orbit. The lunar excursion module will carry two crew members to the surface of the moon, along with scientific instruments, communications, and guidance systems. It also will have a propulsion capability for a lunar landing and for return to the orbiting command and service modules. The Apollo spacecraft and its launch escape system total 75 feet in length. The three-stage advanced Saturn booster adds another 280 feet in length.
The lander was unlike any spacecraft ever imagined before, since its unusual and completely non-aerodynamic shape would never need to fly within an atmosphere. Keep in mind that when NASA made this announcement, none of the Mercury astronauts had flown yet. In 1972, NASA's course changed for decades as President Nixon announced that the space agency would be shifting its resources away from expendable rockets like the Saturn family and instead concentrating its resources on a spacecraft that could be used more than once.
It's called the Reusable Space Shuttle. Taking off like a rocket and landing like an airplane, it will virtually replace the way we transport manned and unmanned spacecraft into orbit by the early 1980s. To prepare for the shuttle, research and development programs continued to move ahead as high-speed wind tunnels were used to help solve the problems of re-entry. Here, undergoing tests are special recoverable booster rockets that will be retrieved after launch.
In 2005, astronomers at the Palomar Observatory found something that the press immediately began calling the 10th planet, Eris, a tiny body beyond Neptune's orbit, with its own moon and even tinier body called Dysnomium. But Eris was the last candidate for the solar system's 10th planet to be discovered. The International Astronomical Union began working on a stricter definition of a planet, a process which would eventually strip Pluto and Eris of their planetary status. On this day in 1914, the original Superman, actor George Reeves, was born. Comic artist Russ Manning was born in 1929. Born in 1959, actor Clancy Brown.
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Stargate Atlantis star Joe Flanagan was born today in 1967, and his Atlantis co-star Paul McGillion was born in 1969.
You're the one who fired that thing at me.
Look, we're doing research. Working with technology that's light years beyond us, and we make mistakes. I'm incredibly, incredibly sorry.
Well, next time, just be a little more careful, okay?
That's what I said.
What the hell was that thing, anyway?
You mean the drone? The weapon the ancients built to defend this outpost.
Oh?
You do have security clearance to be here.
Yeah, General O'Neill just gave it to me.
And you don't even know about the Stargate.
A what?
In 1967, a different kind of space shuttle was on the mind of the Enterprise crew, the Galileo 7.
Well, I can't say much for the circumstances, but at least it's your big chance.
My big chance? For what, Doctor?
Command. Oh, I know you, Mr. Spock. You've never voiced it, but you've always thought that logic was the best basis on which to build command. Am I right?
I am a logical man, Doctor.
Well, it'll take more than logic to get us out of this.
Perhaps, Doctor, but I know of no better way to begin. I realize that command does have its fascinations, even under circumstances such as these. But I neither enjoy the idea of command, nor am I frightened of it. It simply exists. And I will do whatever logically needs to be done.
And in 1974, the short, troubled run of Harlan Ellison's series, The Star Lost, came to an end.
What does it mean?
It means that you've got possibilities. Physical strength and stamina, high intelligence quotient, real possibilities.
Yeah, possibilities for what?
For joining my team, becoming a detective.
that.
No, I don't think so.
I need a bright young man like you. My tech's a specialist in computers. Mike's an expert at pilot, engineer, and astrogator. I'm a forensic scientist and investigator. I need a good assistant. There's going to be much more work than I can handle when we get to that solar system.
Look, there must be plenty of other policemen on your staff who can qualify.
Certainly dozens, but I want someone I can train in my own methods, not one of these textbook-trained graduates of the Ark Academy.
In 1981, the BBC tried to take one of its most famous radio shows into the medium of television.
Here's what the Encyclopedia Galactica has to say about alcohol. It says that alcohol is a colorless, volatile liquid formed by the fermentation of sugars, and also notes its intoxicating effect on certain carbon-based life forms. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy also mentions alcohol. It says that the best drink in existence is the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster. The effect of which is like having your brain smashed out with a slice of lemon, wrapped round a large gold brick. The guide also tells you on which planets the best pan-galactic gargle blasters are mixed, how much you can expect to pay for one, and what voluntary organizations exist to help you rehabilitate. The man who invented this mind-pummeling drink also invented the wisest remark ever made, which was this: never drink more than two pan-galactic gargle blasters unless you are a 30-ton mega-elephant with bronchial pneumonia. His name is Zaphod Beeblebrox, and we shall learn more of his wisdom later.
Starring many, but not all, of the cast members who had played the same roles on radio, the TV version of Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy would strain constantly against its budget and the realities of the BBC's production capability. It lasted only 6 episodes. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history, and you can pick up the Logbook's original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, in the Logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
The escape pod was created and produced by Earl Keane.